It seems like you two have fun together.
There's a lot of giggling.
Yeah.
I'm the main giggler.
You two are dangerous, I see.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to The Homestay Kitchen with me, Mary Chan, and Aaron Eastman. This is a podcast where we serve up stories of being a homestay family, the ups and downs of making a connection with international homestay students. We'll bring a plate full of stories, ideas, interviews, and hopefully dish up some anecdotes to share with our community. How do your intentions bring out the best in your family to have a successful homestay experience? And what differences do the big city of Toronto and the West Coast of Canada provide to an international student? In this episode, we chat with Rosalind Benatar, a recent transplant from Toronto to Victoria, BC, where we are. She shares her hosting experience from her perspective of living in the biggest city in Canada. She also reveals why you need to keep a positive attitude and open heart when hosting international students, and why your home is your sacred space. So she explains how that correlates with students needing to respect your rules. Each homestay situation is so unique, and it has its own distinctive challenges. So let's listen in on Rosalind's approach.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Or good afternoon, or good evening, or whenever people
good
listen
evening.
To this. I like your hand gesture when you do that. Good evening.
Well, I think it translates when you do hand gestures. This was what Mary has taught me whenever I have had to voice her with things. Jazz hands, Aaron.
Yes. If you use your hands to talk, it really comes through in the audio.
Good evening. And with a smile.
So we are here with Rosalind Benatar, our lovely guest for today. Hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hello and welcome.
Thank you so much.
So you have made quite the adventure out all the way here to the West Coast. You are originally from Toronto. So tell us a bit about your background.
Yes, I'm from Toronto. I've been here since the end of February. Life is good back in Toronto. I have a successful business. I have my family. I have my friends. But I realized I need to have some fun, some adventure, put some living into my life while I have life to live. And I Googled best place in Canada and Victoria came up.
We are the best place in Canada, I gotta say.
Best weather in Wales. And I booked my ticket.
Oh, wonderful.
I flew. My car was tracked here. And everything in my car was so that I could operate my business. So I don't have a bed. I don't have a pot. And I booked a B&B to figure out my next move to be successful and happy here in Victoria.
So what a wild and wonderful woman.
Yeah.
Grandmother. It makes it more exciting because I'm 63. So everybody, as I would tell them my story, would pause and look at me and say, "You're brave."
But it takes bravery and courage to have adventure in your life.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And this is not the first time that I've done this activity. It's just that I was in my 20s the last time I did it.
Where there are no cares in the world when you're 20.
Exactly. So it's in me to do this, but in the 60th decade of my life, it is more of a risk.
Since our podcast is all about being a homestay family, what is your history of hosting students?
So as a single mom, I thought of interesting ways to bring in more income because I was on my own with my two daughters and I've always been an entrepreneur. So I didn't have a job or a steady paycheck. A friend of mine was actually doing it. I hadn't heard of it. I didn't know it existed. And she was having success. And that's really how I started. My kids were really young. We did have a 4-bedroom house. I trusted that we would get the right students for us, and we did. And so once I started and it was successful and we met interesting young ladies from all over the world, we continued.
Did you sign up with a high school, a program? How did you get started?
It was high school students in the beginning. Our first student was from Spain. And just a funny story about that, she ate a lot. And I wasn't prepared for that.
Oh, no.
And I remember one time in particular, I made paella because I was thinking of her and I left it for her and she ate the entire thing. And it was for all of us.
Oh,
it was
no.
the evening meal for myself and my two daughters. And she ate the whole thing.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I know. So that was my first introduction. But then I just made some changes on what I would serve and what I would prepare. And it all worked out in the end.
It's always those first students where it's the learning moments. You don't really know what you're getting into.
No, you don't. And you have to use faith. But another interesting tidbit that comes to mind is how shortly they become part of the family. Because again, that's the unknown factor. Will they fit in?
Mm-hmm.
But in just a short time, it's like having another daughter.
Yeah, I found that too.
With all of the students.
With
that
my
you had,
students
yeah.
that, yeah, they do. They become part of the family. And it can be hard to give them up at the airport.
It's very true. It's very true. We had this discussion before we actually started this interview on some of the countries. So Germany, France, Italy, China, South Korea. Those are the countries that I've hosted.
Wow. And how many students in how many years do you think you've had?
That is a good question. I'm going to think about that while I continue talking. But another tidbit about myself, my ex-husband, my children's father, moved to Florida. And during the summer months, when he had the girls, during the summer, I would have three.
Three students.
Yes.
Whoa.
Just
yes.
to make it work.
Just to make it work. But how many? I would say probably 12 to 15. One time it was a brother and sister because we were a girl family, even girl pets. I used to ask for girls. Mm-hmm. But this particular time it was a brother and sister. And it worked out to be fine because it was a brother and sister. But I did stay away from having boys.
What was your fear of having a boy in the house?
Two young daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And even myself. I have two sisters. So I just didn't have a lot of boy experience.
That would be boy knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now I have a grandson, a 5-year-old grandson. So I totally understand boy energy. Yeah. But at that time,
yes,
I just didn't.
Yeah, same here. Even with all the schools that we would apply to and things like that, we always say we would prefer a female. And in all the years that I've ever hosted, we've only had one male. He was a 16-year-old boy and he was just always in his room. And it was, you're right, a different energy. And I didn't quite know how to play off of that, even though I was quite the tomboy growing up. Still am. And I have an older brother, but for still some reason, there was a barrier between him and I, male and mother figure, I guess. Yeah.
I have to say that my son is getting the greatest education on females right now.
Oh,
in our
true.
House. I have an 11-year-old son, so I have three children and two daughters, and we host just females. Yeah, he's getting the greatest education on females and how their brains work and teenagers and girls. And like, we've been having body science talks at the table right now because my youngest is getting the body science talks at school. The girls, when they're talking about boys, and we're raising him to be a very chivalrous boy and a very kind boy. And I think I just said to my husband last night, I was like, well, when Carter goes to high school, he's going to be the boy with the backpack with like extra sanitary napkins in it for all the girlfriends. They can come to him and he's going to be known as the kind kid, the guy that's safe that you can go to when you need help. Like, that's just, you know what I mean? Like, I think we're going to be that family.
Yeah. That is so nice to have a boy like that. But being from Toronto, I have noticed that the young people here are polite, friendly. I'm going to say a little more innocent than the Toronto mm-hmm. young people. So I have definitely noticed there's a difference in parenting and exposure. So I totally get what you're saying. It's so important to raise boys in that manner.
Thank you. Maybe that's one of the reasons Victoria came up as a good city.
Erin has a student who is going to move to Montreal.
Yes. So my Chinese student, Jenny, is moving to Montreal this fall to attend. We're very proud. McGill, she has a question for you. She hasn't really experienced snow in Chengdu, where she's from, and she would like to know what advice you can give her about Canadian winters. What specifically should she be packing?
Yeah, because Victoria is so mild. It snows once a year, maybe.
Maybe, if we're lucky, it's like a special magical event.
Yeah.
But we get to make enough snow for a snowball and maybe go sledding.
Yeah. So from being from Toronto and having students living in Toronto, what is your advice for Jenny?
Well, thank you so much for that question, because Montreal has severe winters.
Compared to Toronto?
Yes. Toronto is much milder.
Okay.
Oh.
And I know that for a fact because a lot of Montrealers have moved to Toronto as well. I've spent winters in Montreal.
Oh, thank you.
It's severe, severe snow, cold. I'm going to be graphic. So cold that your nose hairs freeze.
Oh, jeez. That's not going to be nice.
Lengthy. It's icy. You need full gear, gloves, a scarf, boots, winter coat, layer. Wow.
Yeah, but she should probably get that when she moves there.
Yes.
Right? Like, don't buy anything. Nothing here in Victoria will help.
But she could buy it in China maybe and bring it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Canada Goose is big.
That's brand. What she wanted to know. Does she need a Canada Goose
yes.
jacket?
Yes.
Thank you. What kind of boots should she buy was her question.
Yes. All terrain, the warmest. And it will say on the label, warm until a certain degree. So the warmest that she could find, definitely warm socks.
Wool socks.
Yeah, as warm. Of course, in Montreal, she'll find that information easily. But if she wants to prepare, it's extreme winter and long in Montreal.
Wow. Lasting through April?
I would say the bulk of winter is December until March. The last few weeks here in Victoria, ladies, the weather has been better in Toronto. My family's in Toronto, so I have Toronto weather on my phone and I check it every day. Yes. Lately in Toronto, I don't know what Montreal's doing right now, but it's always colder than Toronto and snowier. Sorry to your student.
Thank you. So going to the winters in Toronto, it does snow there. You can do snowy activities. Talk to me about what kind of, more wintry, authentic Canadian experiences your students got to experience compared to like what we would experience here with our raining and
mild climate.
Mild climates.
They would be able to skate. They would be able to toboggan. They would be able to ski. So they would have a full range of winter activities. Everything is available. Now, the good thing about Toronto is we do get a few cold days and then it'll warm up. But this past winter, which is one of the reasons I wanted to leave, we had an extended cold snap. So much cold, my car battery died because of the cold.
Oh, wow.
It was severe this past winter. But the students will have a full four seasons. Beautiful spring. Our summers are hot, not like Victoria. It's hot and humid, as well as Montreal.
How does a student prepare for that type of weather?
Everywhere in Toronto and Montreal would be air conditioned, unlike Victoria.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So air conditioned everything and everywhere.
Okay. Yeah. We don't get that here at all when I think, air conditioning. Who needs air conditioning here?
Yeah. It's definitely a necessity out back east, for sure. How is her French?
She learns language through music. Do you have any French musicians that you could, recommend for me? Or
I would use my friend Google.
Yeah.
I know.
I only know 80s French music from when we had to learn French in high school, rock voisine and Celine Dion.
I know. My Italian student speaks French in our home right now.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. I'm hoping that she's kind of picking up some French from her.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reputation in Montreal that French people they don't want to speak English, even if they do know how. So if she at least tries and makes an attempt, she'll get a better result. But I don't want to scare her, but depending on where you are, they will speak only in French.
I think just like any student who lives with me, I always say to them, you have to at least try and know the pleasantries, say please, thank you, all of those things in that particular language that you will be living in. If she gets that down, I think she'll be okay. And then she absorbs the language once she's there.
Yeah, absolutely. But if she's there in the summertime, there's so much to do there's Old Montreal, which is so beautiful, cobblestone streets, and it is extremely exciting and interesting and lots of great restaurants. So
she'll love that.
Oh, she loves food.
She can have an authentic Montreal bagel for me.
Yes. Oh. The best bagels. Absolutely. She'll be overwhelmed with different cuisines.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure where she's going to be living, but in residence. Okay.
At McGill.
So you know, she's going to make friends. She's going to meet other international students, but it's a beautiful, romantic, interesting city. And again, unlike Victoria, Toronto and Montreal, very multicultural. So that is so interesting if you're not used to it. Mm-hmm. In China, it's not multicultural and Victoria is not necessarily, but Toronto and Montreal, you see people from every country. Mm-hmm. Every color, every nationality, every language. So that is fascinating.
Yeah, I find even with the comparison between Victoria and Vancouver, Vancouver is more multicultural than Victoria. But I find also because of all the international students that we get here, there are more and more cultures living and staying in Victoria now, more so than when I first moved here back in 2003.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I just remembered something. In Montreal, you don't see this in Toronto, but you do see people wearing fur coats less and less. But you do see people wearing fur coats, which is interesting and it takes my attention when I do see that.
Yeah.
But it is that cold.
That you need mm-hmm. to have it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One thing we talk about is studying. Jenny mentioned to me, you know, a lot of her friends being in the Chinese culture that the Chinese parents are actually saying, and we've talked about this before, Mary, that their parents are saying to them, you have to study in the home stay. You stay in your room and you need to study, you need to get better. Did you find when you were hosting Chinese students that they were in their room studying a lot, like a lot, and you had to pull them out? Yeah. You're nodding
absolutely.
Your head.
Yeah. I know I'm nodding my head on radio. Yes, definitely. Also, the last Chinese student that we had, she would be on the phone to her parents. And with the time difference, it could be quite late that she was chatting with them. But I know that her parents were very demanding that she study and make use of her time in Canada. This particular student, she kept her room very sloppy. I don't know if you ladies have experienced that.
I've to some other families too who, they're like, we need to regiment in cleaning one day a week. Otherwise, it's a pigsty in that room. And that's your house, right?
Yes.
They still have to take care of the property that they're on.
Yes, that was in the rules.
Yeah.
But she would keep the door closed and I wouldn't ever see it. But if she were to keep the door open and I could peek in, then she ate in her room, this particular student. Because we have to talk about the good and bad. I'm not just going to sugarcoat everything.
Yeah, I have a couple questions about the challenges that you face. But
Yes, because realistically, you are getting students with different personalities, different characters, different cultures, and different home life. I understand that her father was a doctor. I understand that she was coddled. So her room was full of food. She would eat chocolate cake for breakfast. We have a store called Longo's in Toronto. It's high end and it was across the street from her school. And she would come home with all of this junk food, which I tried to talk to her about it. Mm-hmm. And she would promise, no, I want to lose weight. So, cook healthy for me. But then in her room, she was doing this in secret.
Right.
This particular person. Mm-hmm. Young lady.
So were you able to talk with her and figure out how to alleviate some of that? Or was it just a habit of hers that she couldn't break?
She made those choices and that was the way that she wanted to live. And so I just had a minimal influence. I did the best that I could. I'm actually a nutritionist. So I did what I could. I actually also spoke to the supervisor and the supervisor did come to our home. She wanted to see the room and she was horrified. And she wound up speaking to the parents of this young lady. They would just send her more money. They just kept sending her money. She would come home with shopping bags of items.
Oh, geez.
She would see something, a student would have this particular backpack. She bought a Canada Goose coat. And so that's, they're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I also find it's that fine line too, where you're a homestay parent, homestay mom, but you're not their mom.
Correct.
Yeah. They still are a person and they have those decisions to make. And if that's what they choose, that's what they choose. You can't change their mind.
Correct. That's right. And I just followed the guidelines that were set out for me and did my best to make sure she was happy, comfortable. And then exactly what you're saying. If I remember correctly, she was 18. So she's an adult in the eyes of the law.
In BC, it's 19.
Oh, yeah. 19.
So sometimes you could have those students where they're like, I'm 18, I can do whatever I want. We're like, not in this province, actually. Yes. And there's a little bit of fight for that independence.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Especially we don't know what their home life is. Perhaps mm-hmm. they don't have freedom.
Yeah.
I did find that as well. Some of the students were freedom. Yay!
I'm away from my parents. I can do what I want.
Yeah. And when you're talking about like cleanliness of rooms and stuff like that, I've been in similar situations as yourself. And, you know, when they're coming to you and like, oh, can I go sleep over at my friend's house this weekend? And I'm like, well, have you done your household chores? Is your bedroom clean? Is the bathroom clean? Because if it's not, the answer is no. That would be my answer if my own children were asking me. So get your stuff done or the answer is no.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I am a gentle, nurturing soul mm-hmm. and I always want to be kind and respectful.
Yeah, me too.
And having two adult daughters, I would keep asking myself, how would I want my daughters to be treated? But then my daughters would never do some of the things that some of the students were doing.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, it is about respect for you and the household and what you're providing as well. And so,
yeah, absolutely. In the end, we all want to enjoy our experience. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's great to have that extra income, but this is your home, your sacred space.
Yeah.
And I do, I'm very sensitive to energy and I could feel with this particular, I keep talking about this particular student because she's the last one that mm-hmm. we had.
It's fresh.
It's fresh. Yeah, it's fresh. There was some uneasy feelings.
Mm-hmm. It's tension in
tension.
The room.
Mm-hmm. Tension. Yeah, absolutely. But we survived. She enjoyed herself and we survived.
What were some other big challenges that you had to face with students?
This particular last one was the most challenging. Other than that, it was fun. It was enjoyable. Oh, I did have one student from Venezuela. And because home life was very, very challenging with her, she had to get a job because her father could no longer send her money. It's all, look at me. I'm talking about all of these intense experiences. I'm going to switch to only happy ones, but this particular one, I did get her a job.
You did?
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of work did she find?
She was actually cleaning a home. Mm-hmm. So that's what she was doing. The person that she was working for loved her, was so appreciative. She was happy because now she had spending money.
Yeah.
She could stay. So it was all a win-win situation. And at that time, my grandson was a baby and she loved him and he loved her. So she was also a help in our house. Not that we asked her to, but she just loved being with a baby. So in the end, it was all successful. And when the time was up, she did go back home. But so there's a political influence on this particular young lady, but we were able to prevail and it was all successful.
That's wonderful.
So let's switch now to some more positive stories. What is one of the happiest memories that you have with one of your students?
This is an Italian student. She absolutely loved the family. She loved Toronto. She loved the experience. She was going to look for a way to emigrate to Toronto. So she just enjoyed herself. She was very social.
How long did she stay with you?
This was for a summer.
Oh, wow. Even that short period of time, she was hooked.
Just hooked. Yeah, absolutely hooked. We keep in touch. I mean, when she got back to Italy, she actually got into a relationship. And so her dream to emigrate, you know, that got sorted in a different way. But so that was a very, very a positive experience. But really, they're all positive in their own way. It's just navigating the student that you have and making it as successful as possible for everybody. I would highly recommend, if this is in your circumstance, to go this route. If you keep a positive attitude, you can work through any circumstance. But I highly recommend being a homestay mom.
Aside from having that positive attitude, what's another action tip that you can give of somebody?
Keep an open heart and don't have too much expectations. I just kept it to the universe, mm-hmm. using my spirituality, that the right student would come to us. Because we just kept an open heart and an open mind, we were able to navigate each and every student that we had. But to your question, make sure that it's something that you really want, because then you'll find the resources to make it work if the student isn't the right fit for you. You also have resources. You could also go to the organization. I did hear about this, you know, swapping students, perhaps because in Toronto it's a bigger location, you were able to swap or you were able to find a solution if the student that you had wasn't a good fit for your family.
Swap with a different family.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But they'd be still within the same program.
Yeah.
In the same program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And do it. And then figure it out after you've done it.
What are your favorite ways to get to know your students better? Like you have, you know, somebody new in your home, and how do you get students to open up to you?
I would go for a walk with them. So when they would first come to the home, I would respect how long they've been flying, what the time difference was. If they were hungry, if they were thirsty, I would respect that the first 24 hours. I would take them for a walk. I would show them where the bus was. I would show them where the grocery store was. We would go grocery shopping. I would take them to the mall. I would show them life. Also respecting, you can only take in and absorb so much. When I first got to Victoria, somebody was very kind and taking me here and there and touring here and there. But I realized I was trying so hard to absorb one, the fuca, the Malahat, Saanich.
Yeah, all the new strange words to you.
Up island, off island.
Oh, yeah.
So I realized I really was determined to learn as much and acclimatize myself, but there's only so much that you can take in. And so then I would take them for a walk again. And again, having two daughters, they loved being with my girls and the friends of my girls. We would have their friends over, I would leave, and they would just love that experience. That's what I did.
It's just really getting people out of their shell and feeling like they are a part of a community, a family.
Yeah, absolutely. There are ways in the kitchen also to do that around food, because you don't really need language.
Yes.
Or again, doing the grocery shopping. If they would see a food from their country, they would be so excited. I would buy it. So those are great ways as well. Dancing, put on some music, exercise, just being in your body. But you see when they make that switch and they start to trust you and they start to feel they can relax. You feel it, you see it.
You mentioned that you had some Chinese students, like Chinese New Year, I would imagine. Did you guys ever celebrate that together? Talk to me about holidays with your students.
Yes. So mooncakes.
Oh, part of Harvest Festival in October.
So we actually had the family send mooncakes.
From China?
From China. Oh. The different varieties.
Yes.
And the student was so happy to share with us and explain about the holiday and the money and the red. So yes, it was amazing to be a part of that. We had Thanksgiving, made a turkey. We had our family over. And they absolutely loved it. So there were so many different Canadian foods to try. with the different cultures. I would make a pizza for the Italian.
Yep, our Canadian version of pizza.
Our Canadian version.
Did your Italian student accept it?
Loved it.
Oh, good.
Loved it.
We're so scared to do pizza.
It's always scary to make a dish from their country.
Yes. Like,
is it going to be as good as their mom's? Is it going to be as good as back home?
And yes,
the ingredients aren't quite the same, but we'll substitute this. I hope it turns out.
Yes, it is definitely a lot of pressure. But also with Chinese students, they eat very different breakfasts. So we would have for breakfast, and we would have noodles for breakfast. And just we have a store called TNT in Toronto.
Yes, which I love that store. There's a bunch in Vancouver, but there's none in Victoria. And I'm very, very sad about that. And I go to Vancouver. When I go visit my family in Vancouver, I always go to TNT and stock up on things.
Yeah, it's a great store. And you see so many non-Asian shopping there.
It's like Asian Superstore.
Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
It is.
It's the Asian Superstore. It's amazing. It's huge. There's like hot foods, cooked foods,
yes,
packaged foods, snacks. You can get groceries, fruits, vegetables. There's a seafood department, meat department with Chinese cut meats and stuff. I love it.
Yeah.
Why don't we have one?
I know. I really want one here.
It's like the IKEA for Asian food.
Yes,
we need one.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. It is.
And, do they ship?
I don't know.
They're owned by Loblaws, so it's a whole Superstore thing that, I mean, we have Superstore here. But maybe the Asian market's a little smaller.
Okay, so this is an entrepreneurial idea. We need to get somebody to go over there. Like, you know how they have, I'm going to IKEA. What can I get for you people? Right? They have people.
So then we have a business.
A business idea. Like, as in, right?
So, so people
for the Asian community or just people that love the store in Victoria, I'm going there. What do everybody need? And then you just, you know, can just hijack the price a little bit for the shipping and the ferry.
I think that's a great idea. I'm in.
I know the closest I can get to a TNT is Fairway Markets here,
which like
is the Asian grocery store. And it's good. It's got a lot of products. They've really packed the shelves in. And I found in the past couple of years, they've had a lot more products, but it's not quite the same experience as a TNT.
No, TNT is unique. For food, that would be a place to go with Asian students, and they would be overwhelmed. But in Toronto, again, there's a million Asian grocery stores.
Food for us, being the title of our podcast, The Homestay Kitchen, everything happens in the kitchen, and food really brings people together. What was your favorite dish to share and make with your students?
It depended on the student, but a turkey comes to mind for Thanksgiving, because that's such a big event. And being in the kitchen all together and making this turkey dinner for the family. But just generally speaking, honoring the food of that student, and then trying to introduce the Canadian foods as well. I like to eat more vegetarian. So I would also explain to the student that this is more of a vegetarian home. Try to introduce more interesting vegetarian items. I found that a lot of them were meat eaters. Mm-hmm. So in my kitchen, I would try to buy a ready-made chicken, the roast chicken, rather than cook that from scratch. But in the kitchen, it's love. It's sharing my culture. It's sharing, you know, who doesn't like to eat?
Yes, exactly. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your stories with us, Rosalind.
Thank you so much for having me. You ladies are so easy to talk to, and I've enjoyed myself too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Homestay Kitchen, hosted by Mary Chan and Aaron Eastman. Produced by me, Mary Chan of Organized Sound Productions. Web and show notes by Aaron Eastman. Like what you're hearing? Write us a review wherever you listen. Or drop us an email at homestaykitchen@gmail.com. We would really appreciate it. For more information on this episode, visit homestaykitchen.com. And when you're ready to dish up your stories, connect with us on Instagram @homestaykitchen or on Facebook. Thanks for joining us.